Father, we come again another week to be edified in your word and to look at you and the simplicity of your word, what you have for us, God. So I ask for your spirit tonight to teach and to teach all of us and to get back to you and to know that we have the fullness in you, and you are the fullness of the Godhead bodily, as your word reveals to us here in chapter 2. So God, just pray for your church here in Grand Forks and what you're doing with this group, and that they could go out and really love others, Lord. That's the law that we're unto. That's the only law that you have given us, is to love others and to love you first and foremost, and then from there we'll love our neighbors that we're with. So God, we just ask for that you would put that love in our heart, as our brother Keith Green wrote that song, that you put this love in our hearts. So God, just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 5, guys, we are still in Genesis 5, and this Colossians walkthrough is just a, you know, by the Spirit, looking at Enoch, looking at, you know, been talking each week about Enoch and the picture of the church, that we walk with God, and he walked with God for 300 years, it says in that chapter. And you know, you really look at it. This is before all the laws. This is before all the ordinances of the Mosaic law. And we see a man that walked with God. We'll see in chapter 6 that Noah also says, Noah also walked with God. And we'll see the judgment that's going to come upon the world for all of the crazy things they do in chapter 6 that we will see. And we will get there in a couple weeks. And the ark's prepared, all those cool stories that we learned as a child, and that we would just let our imagination go with what the word says and kind of forget what those watered down little illustrations as a baby were. But we can really let our imagination go run with what the Bible says. You can imagine just how large that ark was, and all the different animals and the compartments, and how God shut that door and sealed them in there, and cool stuff. So kind of try to throw away all of those pictures of the Bible, and that artist renditions, you know, when you come to the word, all the TV shows, the TV series, like I've said, the Passion of the Christ. You know, it's hard for me sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, I'll have those images. That's kind of how I'll picture Jesus. And, you know, it's not even fully accurate of what the Bible really says of what Jesus actually looked like when he was marred beyond recognition. Couldn't even recognize him. So chapter 5, as we continue, and Enoch, right, walked with God, and we walk with God. And so just kind of asking the Lord, you know, what did that look like for Enoch for 300 years? What did his walk look like with God and a sinner? You know, we know that Enoch would have been a sinner just like us. He inherited that sin nature from great 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 grandma and grandpa, and he has that just like us, that sinful nature. But the difference is, as born again believers, as Jesus finished the work on the cross, went to heaven, he sends his Spirit to indwell in us and to come upon us, and so we have even a better, you know, a walk with the Lord, because he dwells in us and he will never leave us. So that's where this Colossians study is for me, has been a huge blessing for me. I just see the Lord working in my heart and correcting me. Maybe he'll correct you, but I remind you guys, in a small church coming to Grand Forks, that you guys have everything you need, right? So don't think, well, maybe one of these days we'll grow and we'll finally have a children's ministry, or we'll grow and we'll have a women's or a men's ministries. God says in his word that you guys have everything you need, that he has, you guys have, like even all the gifts of the Spirit, whatever the body has, you guys have all the gifts of the Spirit. You know, so you're not like waiting for people to come so then you can have the gifts of prophecy or the gifts of knowledge, right? Because this body here, as you guys gather, God says in his word that you guys have the fullness of everything that's available to you as you come and serve, as you go and serve and bring meals to your brothers and sisters and people that you love, And why am I having such a hard time finding Colossians in here? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So just a reminder that you guys, as I come, that you know, maybe you're even thinking, well, maybe I'm just waiting to have a pastor or whatever, somebody that can really come up. But there, you know, what a pastor would do is to come and point you to Jesus, that Jesus is your shepherd, right? The Lord is your shepherd. So you're not, you know, because what happens when a pastor dies unexpectedly? Then what? You know, like it says, Jesus, when he struck the shepherd and the sheep scattered. But, you know, to know that you would be discipled and that you would have the discipleship of the Lord Jesus in your life to whatever situation is, that you have everything you need in the Word of God. So you guys have a wonderful treasure in your hands, that you have these letters that Paul wrote to these churches because he's getting word. We talked last week how he was getting word from Epaphras that there's people coming in and teaching them new things, right? If it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. So we have, if I'm going to come and teach you, I hope you learn nothing new today. I just hope that you guys come and you hear the same thing over and over again each week, that you, all you need is Jesus, right? And the Jesus bodily, we will get there as we read through chapter 2, that Jesus, in Jesus dwells the fullness of God, the Godhead bodily. As I looked at Enoch, and you look up that he walked with God, he walked with Elohim, the fullness of God, right? The triunity of God. And so in him, Jesus dwells the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Father, right? The three distinct persons. I mean, it is beyond my mind how to fully grasp the Trinity, right? The three distinct persons. And then how Jesus will say that, you know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? And then, but the Father's in heaven, and it's you know, mental gymnastics to try to figure that all out. And that's part of this walk, as you walk with the Lord and he teaches you, and you walk through the scriptures on your own. And, you know, you kids, right? That you guys are reading through the Word of God for yourself, not because mom and dad are making you. That you would have a desire, you'd ask God to give you a desire to just read a chapter a day, read a few verses and chew on it, meditate on the Word of God. And so this Colossians study gets me back to the basics. So I've been getting back to the basics, just studying this out, reading it, and just asking the Lord, you know, why Colossians, why go through this? And just our walk and my walk, that I don't need to be, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I so desperately want religion, right? I trap myself in religion, and I want to set myself up a certain set of rules to follow. And okay, I gotta, you know, stop doing all these things and crawl in a box and hide and sing kumbaya to myself. I need to be doing this and that to look a certain way to other people, and well, because of this or that, that I need people to think this because, for whatever reason, you know, you want to be a servant and you can get in the way of yourself, and that's all our nature is. We, you know, the world wants religion. We want to establish works to do, to, for whatever reason, for ourselves, to make ourselves feel good, make ourselves look good, and to make ourselves seem to be something. But God's kingdom is an upside down kingdom, that we would work our ways to the bottom, you know, to be that doormat for all those around us in our, you know, because that's what Jesus did. He came, was a doormat. He came and he healed the paralytics, the blind, right? They came and touched. He touched those that were unclean, right? The law said not to touch, you know, there was all those systems of what they had to do to go through if they touched somebody unclean. And so he touched them, and Jesus is awesome. And so that's what Colossians, we had chapter one, Paul is teaching them that Jesus, that as we build up that foundation of our faith, the foundation of our faith is Jesus, the gospel, and the gospel, Jesus is the foundation. He is God. He was fully God, fully man. He wasn't while he was on earth. He was man, and then he became God. There wasn't when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him. That's not when he became God. He was God for before all time. The preeminence, the superiority. He was before all. He wasn't born God in the, you know, as a kid, man. You know, you think, you know, worldly and naturally, and how, you know, me being a son to my mom and my dad, that there was a union, and then here I come, and there's a birth, and there's a beginning for me. And you read in chapter one, and you're reading through the Bible, you see firstborn. So as a young kid, you're thinking, well, you know, what happened to father? You know, you get really perverse things. That there are those that will teach that you know, the Mormons, we've talked that he's the spirit brother of Lucifer and crazy things. So to get that in your hearts and mind, that Jesus, a broken record, that he is the preeminence before all things. He created all things, and in him dwells the fullness of everything we need. So guys, we will go to chapter 2. So chapter 2, as I studied that out and was studying that, and I came to believe that we needed chapter 3 with chapter 2, because chapter 3 starts with this phrase, if then, better translated, since then you have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. And so we're going to read through chapter 2, and then we're going to see in chapter 3, since chapter 2, live this way. And so let's get there. Let's get chapter 2. And it says, verse 1, for I want you to know, Paul's saying, for what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. We know Laodicea, again, it's just a few miles east of Colossae, right? We opened up last week reading through Revelation, the Laodicean church, and, you know, the lukewarm. He would rather us be hot or cold. He who has ears to hear what the Spirit says. And so as I exhorted us that we would hear that what the Spirit says about us. We are the church, that we would be hot. We would be either cold or hot, not lukewarm and blended in with the world to just look like the world, but that we would be a light that shines bright in the darkness, not just a middle of the road, right? We would get back to the basics and get back to the grace of God and get back to the cross of Jesus Christ and what chapter 2 will reveal to us and what happened on the cross as way of reminder, and we'll get there. So he says, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, as we opened up in Colossians 1, it is believed that Paul had never even been to Colossae. He'd never even seen these brothers and sisters in Christ in the flesh, in face to face. Right, he's getting a report to those that were planted from the Ephesian church and what was going on there, and the gospel and Epaphras and what they learned from Epaphras and the simplicity of the gospel, that the church was birthed in Colossae. And so then that's, like, again, that's how this epistle came, was because Epaphras went all the way, those 1300 mile trek, 8 weeks, whatever it took to get to Paul and say, hey, this is what's going on in Colossae. There's those that are coming in and saying, man, these guys that are saying they're in the know, they know more than everybody, and that the gospel really isn't that simple. There's actually more. You have to, you know, there you had the Jews that are saying you had to be circumcised, and you had those that were trying to add works, and if you are going to believe, you know, we see through the Acts, Peter and Paul scolding Peter and telling, you know, as he sat with those to separate from the Gentiles, that he wasn't right, that division. And so, where was I going with that? He was, the Gnostics. That's how Epaphras getting word to Paul, and Paul writes this epistle, Tychicus, sending this letter back, and then they were to read this to the Colossae church and the Laodiceans. So read them in both churches. And here we are in Grand Forks, to the faithful in Grand Forks who are in Christ Jesus, right? Who have been born again of the Spirit. And this is for you to read and not just be like, oh, this is just for that Colossian church of that time. as some may teach. There are those that teach that. Well, that's for them at that time, or Revelation was for them in that time, and it was all fulfilled in the destruction of the temple, 70 AD, right? Preterists. And they'll read it in a lens that says, well, that was for those people, that's not talking to me. But I remind you that all the Word of God is Holy Spirit inspired. It is infallible. It is true. And you can put in chapter 2, the brethren in Christ who are in Grand Forks. You read this and hear what it says. And so that your hearts, okay, back to verse 2, your hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus, right? In the person Jesus, as you study God's word, in him are hidden all the treasures. Proverbs 2. And we'll get there on Tuesday. Read Proverbs 2 on December 2nd. You'll be reminded that dig up these treasures in Jesus. Right? The Bible says that in him, in whom, in Jesus, in both the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So you want to know something? Study the Word. And that's going to be today's, my encouragement to you is to throw as many books away as you can and just get back to the Word of God. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, right? He's in Rome. He's in a pit. He is in prison writing this. Yet I am with you in spirit. I'm rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Encouraging them. Walk in the Lord. Walk in what you've learned. Walk in the grace. Walk in the mercy. Walk in the simplicity of what Jesus offers and what he did on the cross. The simplicity of the cross of simply dying to self and then having that resurrection power that he gives us to have the power over sin, right? Now that we are dead to sins. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted, memory verse, right? Kids, if you don't have this memorized, memory verse. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Right? The traditions. Think back to the Mark study, Mark chapter 7, the traditions of the Pharisees, of them coming, and you know, they are that picture of tradition. We're getting out of a holiday season. That can become routine and tradition. There may not be any heart behind it. Right? Ask the Lord, am I just going through the motions? Am I coming? Am I doing my service as just a check mark? Right? I'm just checking off the boxes. Okay, prayed for that guy, prayed for that guy, prayed for that couple and everything. Okay, just check, 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 check. But is our heart in it? And so God is looking at our hearts. He wants to do a work in your heart, and you have freedom. And this Colossian epistle, it will free you up. And it's freeing me up, because like I said, religion. I want to get myself under bondage of works and bondage of make myself feel like I'm doing something. And this will free you. You are free to roam the cabin. All right, you guys. I mean, how do you become a member of Calvary Chapel Grand Forks? By simply showing up. Right. If you guys don't show up and there's nobody coming to any services, there's no Calvary Chapel Grand Forks. Right. So if you're not stuck. If you want to leave, you can leave, right? You vote with your feet. And if you want to walk away, you don't like what's being said or talked or whatever, having a bad week, you can walk away. You're not obligated, like I've said, you're not obligated to give. We're not obligated. We are free to roam the cabin, and we are not, we are dead to the law. And so, it's good. It's freeing. It's, you know, we are where the Spirit is, there's liberty. We don't have to be here. You kids, as you're being growing up, you don't have to do these things. This is your walk with the Lord. And, you know, you're, you know, 18, Sam, right? You're entering, your freedom. You don't have to be here. So as I talked my testimony, man, I've been walking with him. He's reminded me almost 35 years. I've been born again and walking with him. And did I go to church every single Sunday and Wednesday my whole life? And did Enoch go to church and gather and do all those things that would look holy and Christian today, right? He walked with God. He had a personal relationship with God. And that's what this Colossian epistle has done for me. And it's freeing me up. And I'm here because, not because I have to be, right? I genuinely am excited to come and study this out and to be with you guys. I'm not like, I'm forced because I made a 6-month commitment or a whatever, another 6-month commitment. So now I'm committed and like, you know, I'm like, it's a bummer. It's not a bummer. God's worked in my heart to want to do certain things. And that's what God will work in your heart as you walk in him. Will it happen in a week? Maybe not. For some, it may happen faster than others, right? Maybe it's real slow. I'm 35 years in it. I'm still learning and learning all about him and then being corrected even in this epistle that, you know, it's like, man, we'll get to, you know, at the end of this chapter and it'll talk about, you know, holidays and, you know, and I get so worked up. Well, I'll address that when we get to those verses because, you know, we are an interesting species, right? So, but we are freed up. We are God's treasure because he, you know, he died on the cross for us and he did that willingly, right? To pay the penalty for my sin because he nailed my sin to the cross. So for in him, right? Verse 9, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See, I wasn't lying to you. You read that with your own eyes, that it really says that. In Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I've talked in the past too that gifts of the Spirit, Paul says to the Corinthians, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, right, of the spiritual gifts. There are spiritual gifts. There are things that are from God that aren't you, that are supernatural, and every believer born again has at least one. And so don't be ignorant of it. And how do you find out your spiritual gifts? Well, start serving people. And, you know, it will, you know, be faithful to point out, man, you have a gift of, you know, that, I know that's not you. That's God in you doing those things, or a gift of prophecy. Others will point it out. It's not, spiritual gifts are not for us to, okay, aha, I got it. And now I have like this weapon I can go around like, I got the gift of this, brother, you know, like, and then pistol whip everybody with our so-called gifts, right? That we would do it in love. And we don't have to like brag about, well, this is the gift I have. And so I'm, you know, you need to listen to me. So yeah, to love one another, and you are complete in him. So mark that down, highlight that. You are complete in Jesus. If you've believed and received and you have believed in the gospel, what he did on the cross, recognize you're a sinner, you are already complete. You are fully complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. I can't say it any better. I'm trying to think of something to add to that, and it says it all right there, verse 10. And you are complete in him, in Jesus, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. You know, that's the gospel. That is the gospel, that you died in him, right? Romans 6, as you, some of you kids, or hopefully all have been baptized and out of obedience to those two ordinances, the Lord's Supper and baptism. And if you haven't, and if you die tonight, you're still going to go to heaven, right? And he's not going to say, well, you weren't baptized, and so you're not going to let you in. You are, there's no works that you can do to fully complete what God did on the cross. But out of obedience, that picture of, you know, if you're not born again and you get baptized and you haven't believed by grace through faith, you, when you dunk in and come out, you're just a cleaner sinner, right? And so it is all that is when we are baptized, we are recognizing, we are identifying with what he did. We are going under, we are dead to sins, and we are raised again in the fullness of life. And as a testimony to those around us that, hey, man, this is my life. This is what I'm testimony to others of what God has done in your hearts. Raised him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Jesus, speaking to Jesus. And you, right? Me, speaking to me. He's speaking to you. Right? Listen to him. Being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And he has wiped away all your trespasses, past, present. If you are thinking about any sins today in worship, and, you know, you're brought to think of something that you had done this week or today, and you are saved, and that is not God bringing that to your memory, right? That is the enemy bringing that to mind to make you ineffective, right? Those are the wiles of the devil. We're going through Ephesians 6, or we just finished Ephesians 6 on Sunday mornings. You know, you guys too, as you listen, and you know, the wiles of the devil, those tactics, trying to make you think that that you aren't fully saved, right? If you know, that's what sin does. It, and I've talked about that too in my life, that, you know, having to get born again because of sin and not having that full assurance that of salvation. But God says here, he takes all of our sins, every one of them, right? If you've have truly been forgiven of your sin, he takes every sin of your life, he throws it in the deepest, darkest ocean, and he puts a sign there that says no fishing. So there's no fishing in what is in that ocean of sin of your life. And so put it to death. And 1 John 1:9, if you're just sinning, and man, you know, you just can't buck it, you just, he's faithful and just every single time, right? You can't out-sin God's grace. That's the good news. That's why we, you know, that's why I come and worship, you know, worship God every week. You know, you think, well, it's week after week, you're singing, you're the same thing over and over again. But, you know, that's how amazing that grace is. When we sing Amazing Grace, truly is amazing grace. Because if you think about it, because from here, because of my nature, I'm willing to bet I'm going to sin after I leave here, right? And I'm willing to bet some of you guys are going to sin too. And so that amazing grace that God wiped it all away, that he, it says, he nailed it to the cross. And so in the Roman times, the cross, what would they, and all the criminals that were crucified, they would nail the trespasses of why this man was being crucified. They would nail it up there. Well, this man was a thief. They'd nail the charges against him. Right? And then, or they would nail that he was a murderer, and this is why he's being crucified. But Jesus, as you read in John 19, spells out what was nailed, what did they nail on the cross, on the top of the cross? Jesus, the King of the Jews. All right? And they were mad about that because they said, well, he said he's the King of Jews. And the Pilate said, well, what I have written, I have written. And And but he so God, that's what man put on there. So there is no charges against him worth death, but God nails all of our sins to the cross, and that you know, the cross of Jesus Christ. So we preach Christ in Him crucified. That we would, you know, those are very dear verses to me. That I would know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That I wouldn't come and present. You know, those are some of my life verses. I don't come with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. That I'm not coming to be polished. You know, I kind of started out, God's growing me up. I mean, I would write it out because I would, you know, it's being recorded. And so you kind of get a little bit of pride and you're like, well, you want to sound good. So you write it all out. But you know, if it's not in my heart, it's not going to come out of the mouth. So I'm working on it, right? So this is God working in me. So that I would come and point you guys to Jesus, point you to His Word, and you guys would walk from here, and you have, you know, be assured that you have the fullness. You are complete in Him. There's nothing you can do to add. You are dead to the law, right? So if you, if I die today, you know, or if you, you know, I am, when I die, I am not worried about my tax bill on April 15th, right? I am dead to that requirement to what I would have to do in this world. So you think about that as God, Jesus, He nailed the law to the cross. So we are dead to the law. The law just revealed to me of my, how far I fall short, right? There are two ways to get to heaven, right? There is receiving the grace of God and receiving the grace of what He did on the cross for us. Or there is, you could get to heaven if you, by the moment you were conceived and life came, that you had a perfect, spotless, you didn't break any thought of any law of God's, you know, if you just lived the perfect life, right? And so from birth, from that moment of conception, that there would have been no broken laws. And so those are the two ways. And but I, knowing the law revealing to me that, well, I broke those pretty early. And even as a young 3, 4, 5-year-old kid, I recognized that I was a sinner. Maybe you did too, and that I needed that simple grace that Jesus offered. And He nailed it to the cross, wiping out, that's that 14, wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. That's the law, which was contrary to us. That is not our, we don't have that nature, right? Jesus did though. He fulfilled the whole law. And He was that perfect, spotless Lamb on the cross. So let no one judge you, okay? Now that you're born again, you're a new creation. Let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. You know, you think of, you know, how we can try to, you know, we look at others and we'll judge them and what they do, or, you know, how many people are taken captive by, you know, like say Halloween, right? Last month, and you know, a kid that wants to go trick or treating door to door and just get candy. Like I get so worked up, and I'll be like, oh, we can't do this, we can't do that. And I'm just worried about teaching my kids all the can'ts, and rather than just teaching them what you get to do. And that's kind of part of my nature, is to be like, well, I can't do this, I can't go there. I'm vending this weekend at a festival where there's, you know, things of sin. And God reminded me through that, because I was wrestling with that. But He, with this Colossian right on time, was that, you know, all the people that, like, even there's some guys there, you know, the janitors that I've been able to have a relationship with that I wouldn't get to if I just crawled in the box and just shut myself off to the world. And so I was able to, this guy from last year, witnessing to him, and he came and gave me a hug and was like, so good to see you. So I got to be back with him and love on him. And it's cool to see that we can go into these places. I'm trying to think of a verse while I'm saying that too. I think it's 1 Corinthians 5. Where Paul is writing to the Corinthians in chapter 5, it's the brother that's with his dad's wife. And but he says something at the end there that ties into that. And I'm going to pull it up for us. Not polished, right? And because, yeah, the immorality, that's the sexually immoral. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. But he says before that, yet I certainly did not mean, let's see, but he says, yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world or with the covetous or extortion or idolater, since then you would need to go out of the world. What he's saying is, for those who have I to do with the judging those who are on the outside, do you not judge those who are inside? Well, I put it in my notes because I was reading that through my devotions, but it's saying that he's not saying not to come out from that, but that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. That we, you know, there's asceticism. I don't know if that's a big word, but that, you know, that was entering in the church of the Colossians. This, to be ascetic was to be ascetic. It's asceticism. And it was that there was these guys that would, you know, it would all through the years, there's these guys that would, or that it still happens today, that would maybe inflict pain on themselves, or they would really go in into a dark room and they would just live this pious life, shut off from all the world and trying to work their way of this religious, just cutting everything off from the world but God wants us to shine our light in a dark world. That's kind of the point I'm trying to get across through this. And so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, right? The Sabbath, we don't have to keep Sabbath. And, you know, here we are on a 5 o'clock night. It's Sunday, having church together. We could do this on a Monday night. We could do it on a Tuesday. It's, you know, you may be working on a Sunday. I'm working on a Sunday right now in Fargo and you know, we can have a Sabbath on demand. We may need some of those. Rest is good, but our rest is entirely in Jesus, right? He is our Sabbath rest. Jesus fulfilled all of that for us. And so those things in verse 17, he says, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. So all those laws were a shadow, right? And so if you, the laws were a shadow of the things to come. And Jesus was that fulfillment of everything. And the shadow, we don't go grasping over a shadow to grab. You know, you think of a shadow and you see one on the ground. You know, you don't go grasping the shadow when the real thing has arrived, right? If you are waiting for somebody at the airport and they're holding up a picture of that person, you don't go grabbing the picture of that person that you're waiting for. You go to the person that's there and you grasp onto the person. And that's what the law is. So the shadow of things to come. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, because of all this, he's telling us, if you died with Christ, from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Right? Do not touch this. Do not taste that. Can't handle that. The can'ts, right? You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't go there. You can't go in those buildings. I remember I took Josiah and we had the outreach for our Resurrection Sunday thing. We went into an adult store to bring them a flyer to say, hey, this is what's going on. Come and hear the gospel and be saved, right? Going in these places to share the love of God, not telling you to go and just hang out at the bars all night and partake of those things, but with wisdom and what God does in your heart, right? To share the gospel, to shine a light in these places. Therefore, if you died with Christ, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, right? Self-imposed religion. I like to do that to myself. Can't, you know, making all these rules for myself and my kids and all these things that we like to do. False humility, neglect of the body, right? That's that asceticism I talked about. It was, you know, there's those that would go and just that way we could see them like, oh wow, he prays for 8 hours a day and he's got all the marks and he's starving. He must have fasted for 2 weeks, and what a godly man that is. And but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. And so all the books, right? This makes me think of, we can read a lot of books about, it can kind of be discouraging too. You'll read some of these books about George Mueller and all the amazing things God worked through him. And so I've been thinking about this week too, that, God isn't calling me to be George Mueller. He's not calling me to be this guy or that guy or somebody, these people that we admire. God wants me to be me, and that he wants to use his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit in me, to use me. And we can look at George Mueller, and then you'll read those stories and about the carriages of, food showing up at the orphanage. And then you'll kind of be like, wow, that hasn't happened to me. And you'll be like, oh, I must not be spiritual enough, or I must not be all these things that we think that we are worshiping these men, and we're worshiping these, wow, look at all the amazing things they did. But Colossians and Paul in this, he's pointing us to Jesus. He did all these things. We're to look at Jesus, and he's given us his Holy Spirit. I have the same Holy Spirit that George Mueller had, that Chuck Smith had, that Mike McIntosh, and some of these big names that we may be familiar with, or Andrew Murray, or R.A. Torrey, right? All the things that they taught. We have the same Holy Spirit in us, and we can go and share the gospel. All it is the gospel, that the words that, how will they hear unless a preacher is sent? And prayer. We can pray. How do you pray? And we try to find all these books and manuals and like what position, what direction do I face in? Am I supposed to have a mat, a prayer mat? Like a lot of these guys will say they had a prayer mat and they wore out their knees, their clothes and their jeans. And so how do you learn to pray? You just pray, right? And you spend time with the Lord, you talk to him. Right, you have a conversation. We are walking with the Lord, and you are walking with God right now. You're going to go from here, and you're going to think about whatever the Lord has you thinking about from these chapters, what he's speaking to you with, and just be encouraged. I am encouraged to throw away all those books, right, about all these men, and I'm encouraged to just, I'm encouraging you guys to do the same, that you would just spend the time with Jesus, right? Don't spend time with George Mueller or spend time with the one that he was spending time with, right? We could look at Oswald Chambers too, and you'll read all those, what his wife put together, those daily devotions and all those things that the Holy Spirit revealed to him, and we can be built up in that. I'm definitely built up in reading some of those things, but we have our own walk, and that's kind of the point I want to say, that you have your own walk with the Lord. And he will reveal all the same things that he revealed to them to you, and where to go, who to feed, who to, you come to a church small like this, where can I serve, right? We are encouraged that we serve in our homes, right? You dads, you children, you go from here, well, I don't have a program at church where I can go and clean or something like that, right? You are free to roam the cabin and serve anybody, your neighbors. Maybe some of you guys, I heard you guys brought a meal to a brother that was alone, or you spent time with him. That's how you can serve. You're free to do those things. And so it's just a very freeing epistle, and I want you guys to be freed up to have the freedom to, you don't have to ask permission to love somebody, right? To love your neighbor. Maybe they don't go to your church, or maybe they go to a different church. You still can love them. That's how you can serve in church. Right? Because the church is not the organization and program that we're putting together. The church is the people, right? It's the, God loves the people. What did God do? And And if you want to learn about prayer, look at Jesus, because he would go, and it says he went oftentimes, he went and secluded and prayed to the Father. And then from there, he went out and continued to serve. So he often went to pray to the Father and to how can he serve others and learn how to pray. Look at Jesus and his prayer life. And I'm encouraged to do that same thing. And man, that's chapter 2. I had chapter 3 planned. I think we should do it though, because we have plenty of time, because we are walking through this epistle and we're going to end in chapter 4. Maybe we'll go through 3 and 4 again next week, because 4 is pretty short and we're going to be praying next week. So let's read through chapter 3. Since then you were raised with Christ, okay? Since you're born again and you didn't have to do anything to be saved, you simply believed. Since that, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Yeah, right? Seek what Jesus is, right? Seek the person that the Word of God reveals, right? Seek Jesus, those things that are above. Set your mind on things above, right? Throw away the movies and the TV shows. You could do all that stuff. You're free to do all that stuff, but to be encouraged, Paul's saying, set your mind, train your mind on spiritual things, right? Romans 7 says the law is spiritual. And the law is good. The law is perfect. We shouldn't hate the law now that we're dead to it, but the law reveals God's perfectness and how it is a good thing to not murder somebody, right? It is a good thing. That is not a bad thing. We should not do that, right? That's what the Spirit, God writes that in our hearts. We know, as a born again believer, we know that's wrong. And God, Chapter 3, I believe, is the one where it says, let the peace of God umpire your hearts. So let's get there. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You cannot, there is nothing you kids can do to lose your life in God and Christ if you've believed and received. That when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Right? Take that with your end times eschatological doctrine, right? When he appears, so if somebody were to come in and say, hey, Jesus is over there, we know that's a lie, because when he does appear, we will be with him. So we can put that one to death. Therefore, put to death your members. So chapter 3 with chapter 2, since all of chapter 2, take to heart chapter 3. Since all of that, it is a good thing to put to death your members which are on the earth, the fornication, the uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Right? Those that haven't been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, what was paid on Calvary, those that haven't put that wrath is abiding on them and is coming to them, those that reject, that make the willful choice. Right, everybody that doesn't believe, that's a choice. Everybody that goes to the lake of fire chooses it. In which you yourselves, right? At one point in my life before I was saved, I also, as this says, I walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off, right? Listen to Paul. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Put off the anger, the wrath, the malice, the blasphemy, the filthy language out of your mouth. Right? The coarse jesting. You'll read in other letters. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Right? Don't lie to mom and dad. Right? Walk in the light. As you kids, as you read this and hear this, put this away. Do not lie to one another and put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, because of all that, let's see what it is there for, right? Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on, right? This is that new man that God gives us, and we can only put this on because of the Holy Spirit that's in us. Put on tender mercies, put on kindnesses, humility, meekness, long-suffering, patience, suffering long, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Right? You can forgive and forgive and forgive, just as Jesus forgiven our sins and will forgive our sins tomorrow as we come to him. But above all these things, put on love. So what is the identifying mark of a Christian? It is love, right? How do you know somebody is saved? It's love, right? That brother that came up to me was, you know, there was love, right? We had instant fellowship. And then he went on talking about karma and all this kind of stuff. And so, but God, you know, I instantly want to correct that bad way of thinking. And he wants to come to church with me and hear the word of God. And the Lord was like, just love him. I don't need to sit there and tell him, well, that's wrong, right? It is wrong. But the Lord will work that out in him, right? That's his walk. And he'll, when he comes to the truth of the word of God, he'll find out mental health and all that kind of stuff we maybe preach against. But, you know, God, as we are pointed to Jesus, he has everything we need. And so, God, it was just really cool. As I was saying that, God just said, just love him, right? Just, it doesn't happen in 5 seconds. God will work that all out. The witness of the Spirit. So, and let the peace of God, right? There that is. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God umpire your hearts, right? The peace of God that is in your hearts. He'll call the strikes and the fouls. That's that. He will umpire your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's what we do here as we gather, guys. That's church, right? The word of God and singing and praying for one another. It's all we need. We're not waiting for something to happen to have a bunch of programs and things and ministries to look high and mighty on the outside, but we have everything we need here in this body. That's the good news of this. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, I'm a husband. I'm to love my wife and not to be bitter towards her. And children, you children are to obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. That would please the Father to obey your parents. They tell you to pick up, go to your room and pick up your clothes or do this, right? Go do it. Don't stomp your feet, right? Don't stomp your feet in rebellion. You just go and do it. You will please the Lord, right? That will all be worked out in your heart as you grow in him. And fathers, I'm not to provoke my children, he says, lest they become discouraged. I'm not to rile them up or you know, all the little things we can do to get under their skin, but to love and nurture and not to provoke them, to get a reaction out of them. You know, that can happen. And bond servants or employees or those that are under an authority in work, whatever, obey in all things your masters, those that are above you, those that are overseeing your work according to the flesh, according to what you naturally do in the workplace. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, right, he's saying, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So you're not doing these things for your boss. You're not doing a good job. You're not staying late. You're not going early. You're not picking up the trash, doing things isn't on your job description. You're not doing it for your boss. You're doing it for the Lord. And to do it heartily as you grow and as you walk with him. And you know, as you do those things, God's with you. And he will help you, and ask him to help you in that, right? Those are the conversations you can have with him as you're doing those things. Like, Lord, you know, I know you're with me. Help me with this. I have a bad attitude today. I don't like this person, right? These are real things that you think in your mind. These are things I think in my mind, right? You get around people, what happens? You know, that's what having a large family and having kids, that's what does to moms and dads, is they realize how selfish I am. And God works. That's what coming together with a group of believers does, is you realize, I really don't like these people, right? You know what I mean? That's the truth of the matter. God will reveal to you, is like, man, this is, you got to rub shoulders and work this Bible out with one another. And then God will work that in you, that love and to serve one another, right? And whatever you do, yep. Dip down there. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Right? That's how, if you want to serve God, wherever you're at, any moment as we walk out, we're serving the Lord. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. So God is not a respecter of persons, and so there's no partiality with God. He doesn't see if somebody is a different ethnicity or whatever it may be. But I was walking through this too, and I was praying yesterday morning, and God showed me something really cool. If you guys can bear with me for a couple minutes, and it was, I'll just kind of give an overview of it too. It was the road to Emmaus, right? Those two disciples were walking to Emmaus, and you know, if you're thinking of your walk, and maybe you are thinking that you feel distant from, you know, some people will say, well, I walked away from the Lord, or you know, you're backsliding or all these things. And I've learned through watching the Lord is that in those times, I'm not giving you my thoughts and opinions, but I believe the Lord, because he will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you in that I think those moments we are closer to God than we even realize. And in Luke 24, as those disciples are discouraged and they're like, they're talking, they're having a conversation in this, and it is, on your own time, read through chapter 24 and look at what Jesus does. He comes up to them and their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, as they're walking, right? And God comes with them and walks with them. And he asked that question, what kind of conversation is this that you're having with one another as you walk and are sad? I kind of thought that was, as you walk and are sad, you may be discouraged, you're sad, and you're like, man, things aren't going the way I wanted them to go. And Jesus is there, and he'll ask you that question. Why? As you walk and are sad, what is this that you're having a conversation with, right? And he comes and draws close. Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Don't you understand what's been going on? And Jesus says, what things, right? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. And I don't know, read that tonight and read through that. And Jesus gives that wonderful Bible studies. He walks with them. And so we're doing this little series, Walking with God through Colossians. And we're getting back to just knowing that Jesus has everything. He is everything that we need, all the fullness of everything we need as a church. And as we gather together and dwell together and we rub shoulders together and serve one another and we serve those that are at home. And I know you guys are doing that. And so I want you to be encouraged that God is with you. He's very close. And talk to him through the day. You know, that's praying, right? God has shown me that, you know, that I'm praying more often than I think I am, because sometimes you think, well, I got to pray. I'm going to go and like kneel down and bow over and have this like show of it. You know, that's good to do. Go in your prayer closet in private. But as you're walking with God, you know, you have those conversations, Lord, you know, like Acts 9:6 is, you know, Lord, what is that you want me to do today? And so you ask him those questions and you talk with him and you walk with him and he will show you what to do and he will give you all that you need to do what he has for you. So Lord, thank you for tonight. And I feel like there's so much more to say. We could speak all night about what you did and there's so much there, Lord. I went through chapters 2 and 3 very fast, Lord. But God, that we would be encouraged to know that you love us, Lord. You really do love us. Even with our stinking thinking and our rotten attitudes, you still love us. And you are sitting, waiting to talk with us. And you love us so much, Lord. And thank you for that encouragement, Lord. Thank you for the freedom. Lord, that we have in you, that we don't have to do anything and we can still be saved. We don't even have to come to church ever again. We can still be saved. But thank you that you are working this in our hearts, this love that we want to share with others. We want to love others, Lord. We want to do these things and minister to others and meet other people's needs because we want others to know just how amazing your grace really is. So God, fill us up tonight as we go and leave these doors and walk this all out with you. In Jesus' name, amen.